Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
I'm Dwayne Swilly. My wife is going to help me this morning.
Oh, yeah.
You all know her as Sunny, but I want you first to everybody stand to your feet, and we need to welcome our pastors back home to home. Much work pastoring was, and I had Kendi, and so Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, your leadership performed above and beyond. Amen. And from the leadership in all capacities, from the worship team, the AV team, the teachers were incredible. And I told them every week, y'all, we're gone. The way you tell how great senior leadership is when they're gone. How well the church does. And hope was alive and well. Amen. To help me with the message this morning, I'm going to introduce our two powerful people. First off, I'm going to introduce you to Diamond Stevens. Now, before you sit down, see, a lot of times you don't know the story behind. I just want to say, she graduated from college with her master's in 3 years. She graduated magna cum laude, top 5%. I asked Dee to give me a couple things, and it's a dissertation, as a mother should be. But Kennard was telling me backstage, he said she went to work for this company that had 7 or 8 people in it, that it's the message today that touches the world. People that have problems with drug and alcohol and addiction, and how to help them, both young and now old. She is the director of that for several counties, and now it's 50 or 60 people that work for her as the head of the company. Oh, and Corinne, I forgot to tell you, 6-time national champion cheerleader. Sometimes you just need to brag on your kid. Kennard, get up here, Kennard. They love you, Kennard. Kennard, a master's degree in criminal justice. Now think about this. We were having a great time. His desire was to be a police officer to change the community. And as God ended up, he's in the school system teaching financial literacy to our children. Football coach with a powerful testimony has his own company that he emcees events. Y'all give it up to our special guest today, Kennard and Diamond Stevens. This is the last in the series of covenantal relationships, part four. And today we investigate the heart of God. And we're going to take a look at our pyramid, because every week the definitions change. And so we start with level one. Diamond.
Level one, to start with Father God every day, as you go through the day, you learn his heart. So what does that mean? If you start your day without God, imagine the chaos. Just chaos. But when you start with God, he goes before you. He protects you.
Yes.
Kennard and I say this every day. God go before us. We give you permission to enter into our life. There's a song that says, I don't want the promises without the promise keeper. So that's what starting God means to me.
I know this is good. Pastor Josh on the men's Bible study called Wednesday night, I leaked it that they were going to be speaking, and Bill almost passed out. Bill goes, my God, I was going to tell you to have Kennard and Diamond. It's time for them. And I said, okay. All right, Kennard, two.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, level two, our covenant with God is we have his heart so we can give it to our covenant relationships. So we think about covenant and we think about relationships with our families, our friends, and most importantly, for those that's married with our wives. You know, if you don't have a covenant with God, how can you ask your wife to submit to you? So that's something to think about. Covenant and relationships go hand in hand, and with God, it's the best thing.
Good. Diamond, level three.
In our covenants with our brothers and sisters, we always show the heart of God. So how do we show the heart of God with our brothers and sisters? Sometimes we don't like each other, right? But you have to pray for each other.
Yes.
You have to love one another. But we also have to remember that there's days that we don't show up in our best. So we have to give grace and extend that and love on one another, but also protect one another.
All right, Kennard, level four.
All right, level four. We mentor believers to learn the heart of God and then practice the heart of God. So when it comes to the students I'm teaching, the football players whom I'm mentoring, it's evident that they are that's people around me that let me speak life into them, because they see the mentor in me, they see that I believe, and they know what God is, and they know how God can help to change their lives.
Amen. Level five.
Level five. Good morning, Hope United.
Oh, good morning.
I love you. Level five is where we learn the heart of God for the people. That's the whole reason we have the cycle, is we love God with all of our heart, but we're there to learn his heart. And his heart is a heart of compassion for the lost and dying world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so.
John 17.
John
17. Okay. Father, make us one.
Father, make us one. So if we're one with the Father, we have his heart. Amen. Right? And what is his heart? The Bible says that he went to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? The heart, the love, the compassion.
For the world.
For the world. That's what was lost. Amen. Think about it right now today in this world. What's lost? The heart of God for the people. Amen?
Diamond, it says in Matthew 5:8, and I'm writing that Amplified, blessed are anticipating God's presence, which is you all the way. Spiritually mature are the pure in heart, those with integrity, moral courage, godly character. For they will see God. What does that mean to you?
Well, for one, Bishop, before you can stand up here and usher in the spirit, you have to check your heart. Because if you have hatred, bitterness, that pours out into the people. You met me when I was 12, and I was so angry. But you have to work through that, because that's how you can usher in the presence of God. If I stand up here with unforgiveness, how can I pray and ask the congregation to intercede with us? So you have to have a pure heart. So if your heart is not pure, you can't really see God.
What? Say that one more time.
If your heart is not pure, you can't really see God.
Kennard, take me to Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4.
All right. Who may ascend unto the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to what is false, nor has sworn oaths deceitfully. Covenants deceitfully. So the principle, the mountain is upside down, as you can see. And to get to that purity level, you got to learn to serve to get to the top.
It's so interesting when I watch Kennard and Diamond in this house. They have such a servant's heart. And everybody said, where did that come from? Why do you do it?
Y'all know Deidre? I know Deidre. So that's my mother. I have to tell her to sit down sometime. But my mom has a heart that serves even when she don't have. Somehow she finds it to serve. I remember one Christmas, my mom came to Ed and I and said, do you mind giving up Christmas so that I can bless a family that was a part of this church at the time so that their kids can have a Christmas?
Wow.
Ed and I looked at each other like, what? But we obeyed.
Yeah.
And just to see that family be blessed by that.
Come on.
Because even when you serve, you don't have to ask people to show up for you. They automatically just show up. So I saw that in my mother. I saw that in my grandmother. And I continue to see it in her today. But Kennard always tell me I give too much. But that's what I've learned. That's what I've witnessed.
Go ahead, Kennard. Where'd you get the servant thing
from?
You
didn't have to say that part. But we'll talk later. Yes. I get mine from my mom as well. She's a server in the church.
Hold it just a second. Mothers, are you hearing this? There is something you have to impart with you. And I'm not letting men off the hook. We're working hard with our men here. But I'm just telling you something. Don't be coming to the counseling room asking Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, and go, I don't know why these kids are acting like they're...
So she instilled in me at an early age about church. She still goes to the same church we grew up in. She's on the usher board still. She's still serving. Pastor calls her for things, and she just taught me as a young man what it is to know God. She taught me how, at an age where you're going to have to pray for your own sins, everything. She really showed me what it was. Of course, I didn't understand at that age or at a younger age, but I understand now what she did and how important God is. So I thank her for that. Shout out to Ernestine.
Brothers and sisters, is it possible to have clean hands but not have a pure heart? Maybe you didn't do anything wrong, but you didn't do the most important thing. Today, I want to challenge all of us that we repent and know we are ambassadors to the world. That is the heart of God. A bad covenant will pollute your heart, because every covenant, as we've studied, level two is oneness, but level three is influence. Every covenant you have influences you. Sonny, read John 3:16. We've been on this scripture, but I want us to really work on this. You're going to need this.
Now I'll read John 3:16.
Here we go.
I got it. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave. He gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes and trusts in him as the Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world. People, we're not called to judge. We're called to be the light, to shine, not in their face, but shine the way, the path. And when you...
That's right.
When you meet the giver of life, That's what you want to do. You want to give. You want to serve. Amen? Okay, the principle here is, do you see, if you really live and are founded in one, in the level one, it makes you fall in love with level five. Because God so loved the world. If you know his heart was to love the lost. Okay?
What we did, Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, is we said, can I go back to the pyramid that we defined every relationship we have? It fits in some place, whether it's in level two, which is our relationship with, like when he said, how can they be joined together? The two become one. We talked about Ruth and Naomi. We talked about Jonathan and David. Level two, where you become one. It changes who you are. Level three is our brothers and sisters. We talked about the body of Christ. But what I want you to see is, for God so loved level five that he changed the world, which then we disciple, which is part of the mission of our church, to level three, which we become connected in body life together. And so I could not possibly fathom something or someone as much or what would cause me to sacrifice my son. The principle is you have to put yourself in the Bible to understand it. Okay. For God so loved, knowing that I would send my son to a world where he would be ridiculed from day one. Born of a virgin, he realized how every day of his life he was castigated. His parents didn't understand him at 12 when he said, didn't you know I needed to be about my father's business? He was ridiculed his whole ministry by the church. Then in the cruelest form of torture, you see from the Passion of the Christ, he was both beaten with a cat of nine tails, 39 stripes, historians say till his very bowels were exposed. And then in the cruelest, harshest form of execution, he was nailed to a cross. That's God's love for this world. Now, raise your hand if he's your father, God. If he's your father, if he's your father. I love him. But if I love him, I have to say the same heart. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Yeah, he was a priest, but how he changed the nation, he was a king. Kennard, if I've ever known anybody that's a David spirit, it's you. What does this mean? How did David touch the world?
Well, first off, David had an unparalleled love for God. Unparalleled means having no equal. So he loved God so much. And that's why God loved him the way he did.
Yeah.
And had him as a king because of what David was. He was incredible. He was somebody, you know, somebody from David's house was always going to be on the throne because of his love of God.
Yeah.
And his love for God.
All right, baby. There's two passages here that it talks about what our position is to the world because of what Jesus did first. Revelation 19:6 says,
he is the King of Kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And the end of this story is he's the King of Kings. He's the ruler of all. He has full authority. And he has chosen us as kings to be the king he's over, the kings that he's over.
That's right. So king, everybody raise your hand and go, that must mean I'm a king.
That must mean
if
I'm a king.
If he's a king, you're a king.
Written on his thigh and on his horse when he returns to rule is King of Kings.
It doesn't say priest of priests.
No.
It says King of Kings. And guys, if we have his heart, we have to have that because in Luke 19:17, he says, well done, good and faithful servant, because you've proved yourself in faithful, trustworthy, or very little. Now you'll have authority over 10 cities.
What this scripture means to me is how you rule now
Yeah.
Is what you'll rule later. And if we're not out there loving the lost.
That's right.
If we're not out there touching the world, then we will not rule in the next dimension. Because that is what we're here to do. Win the lost.
In Luke 19, this is really the heart of the message today. We see Jesus is coming through the town. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. A hated guy. You realize they're in Roman occupation. And he's in a Jew. He's a Jew assessing taxes that they don't have to pay Rome. Zacchaeus couldn't see because he was sort of short in stature. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up in the tree in order to see Jesus. I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that. That was uncalled for. I apologize. When Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for today I must stay at your house." The whole city, with all of its religious leaders, all of its powerful leaders in faith, who did Jesus go to see in front of everybody? When you save the world, everybody's blessed. Joseph saved the world. Remember with Pharaoh, he protected Egypt. He saved the world. Therefore, he saved his people and he saved his family. Verse 6.
So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcomed Jesus with joy. I don't know why we think the world is going to turn us away. The world is ready. They're ripe. It's ripe fruit.
That's right.
Zacchaeus, he said, "Come on down." He looked up and said, "Come on down. I'm going home with you." And Zacchaeus came with joy. And I love to tell people about Jesus. I love to tell them about Hope United.
Let's break it down. UPS store this week.
Friday, I went to mail a few books. I go in there. There's two guys. They might be in here today. And I said to them, "Are you guys going to church for Easter?" And one guy looks at the other guy and he goes, "I want to go. I go every year. I just don't have a church." And the other guy goes, "I need to go." And I said, "Here, the best church in the world, Hope United. It's right here in Pembroke Pines." And they go, "I'm over there in Sunny Isles." They go, "Oh, we live in Pembroke Pines." And I had to write on the old card, I had to write the three times to make sure they knew there were three times on Easter Sunday. And they said, "We'll be there." It's so easy. With joy, they said, "We'll be there."
Well, you went to the clinic this past week.
Friday, I went to get checked up. And 8 months ago, I was there, and I invited this lady. And she's the lady that checks you out. And her daughter was also, she said, "I'll come and bring my daughter." So they came. Her daughter still goes here. I asked her on Friday to come, and she goes, "My daughter goes to Hope United now. She goes there." And I said, here's a card. Here's the new times just for Easter Sunday. And she said, "I'll be there." It's so easy, world.
She does it every day, I promise you.
What was the other one? Verse 7. Guy on the fourth floor above us. He came down to give Dwayne some papers. He's the president. And he's Jewish. And I said, "Richard, Easter, it's our high holy day. You've got to come with us next Sunday." And he goes, "Well, what time is it? You know, I'm a Jew." And I said, "So was Jesus."
Okay, all right, Sonny. All right, okay. All right, I'm going to take your mic away. All right, here we go. Verse 7.
Okay, I can get it back.
When Jesus and when the people saw it, they began murdering and discontent. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a notorious sinner. This is something that I didn't know, Kendi. Zacchaeus' name was short for Zechariah. Zechariah in the Old Testament was a godly priest and a prophet, but the name meant the righteous one. Right under the surface of a notorious tax collector was a Zechariah. I want to tell you, right under the surface of everybody you go in contact with this week, is the person God destined them to be.
Every person that exists, God speaks a prophetic destiny in their life when they're born. But the enemy has his own destiny he tries to derail you to. But every single person out there has a godly destiny.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. The way many Christians in social media are complaining about these ads, Jesus, he gets us where you see Christians and him washing the feet of sinners. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. Can I take you back to Jesus' last service when he washed Judas and Peter's feet? He knew very well what Judas was about to do. He tells what he's about. Go and do what you have to do. Yet he still washed his feet. Peter, by the time the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me. There are 331 million people in America. He gets us, has already touched 100 million people, telling them that Jesus loves them. So Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, now watch this. Jesus walks in his house and he says, see, Lord, I am giving half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. God showed me the difference in religion and somebody who loves the world. The rich young ruler was religious. So I've kept all the commandments since I was a child. And Jesus says, okay, let me see where your heart is. Give to the poor and follow me. And the Bible says he walked away, and he walked away. Nobody had to tell Zacchaeus to give. Nobody had to tell Zacchaeus to give. He walks in and says, okay, I'm going to give. Zacchaeus immediately responded. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house because he too is spiritual son of Abraham. Can you say everybody I meet was created by God in his image and is a spiritual son of Abraham? God loves the world, all the people he were created. Diamond, here's a scripture that says, you've heard it say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. How do you live this out?
I would say this, to be honest, Bishop. I definitely think the scripture is a faith tester. You can't be mature in the spirit and understand what this is. So in the flesh, I definitely think this is hard because sometimes you want to pop up somebody. But when you love thy neighbor, that's mean you're loving them even when they get on your nerves, even when they do wrong you. You pray for people who don't want to see you good. I'm definitely in the place where I'm learning to do that. And when you do that, God shows up in the midst of it all. I say this in my job. I'm definitely praying, but I see how God is moving. And we have to remember that we have the authority to change the atmosphere.
Yes. Kennard, give us our last scripture of the day. Tell me, how do we love the world?
Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So how do I see the world? I'm learning to see the world in God's light because it's so hard, you know, naturally. But being more in the spiritual sight, you have to love everyone no matter what. And it's very important because people will see you for who you are. So someone who don't even know you, they'll come to you, talk to you, and you're like, what did I do? You didn't do anything, but that's the God in you. You know, that's what he already have in you to help. We have to help the world. That's why we're here. We have to do God's work while we're here. We have to keep God's name going while we're here. You know, so we have to continue showing and doing God's work. And that's exactly what's going on with me in the school. I'm not there by accident.
No. Nobody's there by accident.
I'm not there by accident. Quick story, I actually resigned from my job before getting hired at the school because I already prayed. I said, Lord, this is where I'm supposed to be. So before even getting the job, I left. I already resigned. I said, I know I'm going to get it. And I did. So I know that's where I'm supposed to be. That's why I'm there. So the compassion, the changing of the students' mindsets, because they're not in church no more, as you can see, but we're trying to get them back, and we will.
And we will.
Because we love the world, and we love the youth. The youth have to be back in church. And if that's my will through God, that's what's going to happen.
How many of you in the audience today, you have Haitian background in your family? Can you raise your hand? Let me just see. Look at this. I would say probably 10% of our church. If you know anything that's happened this past week in Haiti, every elected official has stepped down. There's no government place. People are starving. People are living in fear because lawlessness abounds. For God so loved the world. I asked Kendi to do this. I don't know how she pulled it off because I asked her yesterday. This is more than a message to me. I believe it's the heartthrob of God. I had her make up some cards. I'm believing for 100 first-timers on Easter and 100 salvations on Easter. How many of you believe that would just be to the glory of God? I need the ushers to help me right now. I need everybody to at least take 3 or 4 cards. Can you hand those out right now? 3 or 4 of these cards, and I want you to ask God. Don't just hand it. Love somebody. And I just wanted to repent. I wanted to repent that, Diamond, I know better. I know that the Bible says they're dying. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. We have the answer. Don't we, Minerva? We have the answer. Oh, just take a little something. I sometimes watch Sonny do it, and I just go, baby, we need to go home. But her heart is so for the world. I apologize for not doing it better.
I just want to repent today for not doing it more. The world is lost and dying. We've got to get the heart of God in us. And I just want you to stand up if you want a spirit of boldness. And when you stand, you repent.
And hold your cards up.
You repent.
Stand up and hold your cards up.
In the action of standing, you're repenting, saying, God, forgive me. I repent. I want the spirit of boldness to fall on me. To fall on me today that I can go out and win and rescue from sin. Day's almost done. Low sinks the sun. He is coming back. He is. He's coming back. And I believe we're on the brink of a great move of God that will harvest this world.
Yes.
Because he's not coming back for empty hands. He's coming back for a bride. Let's lift our hands. Father, we love you today. Give us your heart, Father. Trust us with your heart for the lost. Trust us today, Lord. And take our hearts and transform us today. Infuse us with boldness. You said, if you are ashamed of me in this world, I will be ashamed of you. Father, I do not want you to be ashamed of me. I want you to be proud of me. I ask for the spirit of boldness for a lost and dying world. And I thank you, Father.
Everybody got cards? If you need them, just wait. Put your hand. I want everybody to have one in your hands. I want you to say, this card, these cards are going to change somebody's life. I'm going to give. Thank you. I'm going to give this. I'm going to seed this. And we're going to see the greatest salvation, the greatest revival Hope United's ever known. in Jesus' name. And if you don't know Jesus, let me just say to you, you came to the right place today. We love you. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.